Good morning. It is Thursday, September 15th, and things that are trending this hour. Martha's Vineyards. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis claims credit for sending two plane loads of migrants to Martha's Vineyard. Also trending, Roger Federer. He has announced that he's ending his competitive tennis career. His next match next week will be his final event. And finally trending, a Chick-fil-A worker is praised for helping a woman with a baby who was being carjacked. This video is circulating on social media. The woman was getting her baby out of her vehicle outside of the restaurant at Fort Walton Beach, Florida, when a man wielding a stick approached her, demanded her keys. However, a Chick-fil-A employee came out and physically struggled with the suspect and got him to the ground and ended the situation. It is 6 minutes after 11. His name is Rob Kendall. My name is Casey Daniels, and let's get into this article. This just came out. These are new CDC statistics. Nope, we're not talking about coronavirus. Nope, we're not talking about monkeypox. It's something else. STD rates. Yep, they shot up last year. Syphilis rates saw the biggest annual increase in more than 70 years since the Truman administration. Syphilis rates jumped 26% last year.
So Politico has the story. It just came out, and I told Casey we must address this at the top of the hour because we usually address the big story of the day at the top of the hours. This is a staggering increase.
26%.
I mean, that is just a staggering increase. And you and I were talking during the break. I think, because people are saying, well, everyone was locked up, how would this happen? I think the sort of people who are inclined to probably be
frisky,
fast and loose with protection, probably weren't obeying their local mayor or governor's guidance
on lockdown rules
and regulations. Now, we tried to get this out of Kevin, but he was very scant on details about how the dating app thing works. Now, I've never had one, so I can't speak from experience. But Jaden, who is helping produce the show today and who will be with us tomorrow, you do have the dating apps.
I do.
Okay, so I'm not saying I don't want you to out anyone or yourself, but in the young people universe, how quick does it move from locating someone on the app to they're over at your apartment for an evening of dinner and dancing?
All right. So now if you want my take on this, I think that as a man, you have to make that transition from the app to the first date, to seeing each other in person, within the week. If you don't do that within the week, it's doomed to failure. It just will not happen.
You get friend zoned.
Well, you just get ghosted. They stop responding altogether. There's no good messaging.
Hey, wait, time out. So let's say it's the app. There's one where you swipe, right? There's this thing. You swipe the thing, and what happens then? You see somebody swiped, and then you correspond with them. Hello, fellow youth. I noticed you took interest in my photograph. Is that like what happens?
It depends on how clever you are. That's a really great intro that I'm going to use for sure from here on out.
You can, yeah, totally.
100%. Rob Kendall said, yes. I need to say to you.
Yes.
Yes.
You can also use me as a reference if that will help you. I'm wondering how, because I think people were showing up on location. It's not like how maybe Casey and I envisioned it of you meet someone online, you propose meeting them at a local Chili's for a bar drink, and then you go from there. Mm-hmm. This appeared to be, especially during in a lockdown-esque world, that people were rendezvousing in private location. So I'm wondering like how quick that usually transpires.
The culprit is likely Tinder or Grindr, right, if you're a homosexual. But those options tend to lead more quickly to a sexual type encounter.
So it's a hookup app. It's not to actually engage and have a long relationship,
I would say,
right?
Bumble and Hinge and the like are more likely to result in a public meeting, but the other ones tend to be a little more
Okay, well, clearly,
scandalous.
Let's focus on the non What did you call them? The hookup?
Just hookup.
Hookup apps, because that was clearly what was happening here based on the high infection.
Total infection rates?
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, clearly people not either understanding or working through the process to prevent that from happening.
Or not caring.
Well, they care now.
Yeah.
How does that conversation go? Again, is it you swiped on my photo? Here is my address. Come on over. How are these young people having these conversations? Because they clearly need some mentorship and guidance on how to avoid, or maybe it's not just young people. Maybe it's the older people now too.
Oh, it's both for sure.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The older people should know better.
So gonorrhea also increased 2.8% last year, reaching almost 700,000 infections.
Okay, so what?
Chlamydia was on a decline in 2020.
Oh, Trump had chlamydia under control.
But then in 2021, skyrocketed back up.
Another thing Biden has lost control of in this country is the STDs.
Uh-huh.
So what, real quick, and then we'll move off of this. I just don't understand how an informed person, mm-hmm. Who, if you took basic health class in school, they, mm-hmm. I think they give you the, risk reward scenario.
See, now I've got a take on this.
Yes.
I think part of this has to do with the lockdown of the medical facilities, how hard and difficult it was to get in to see your doctor. So there could have been a lot of people out there who maybe had some symptoms, things didn't look or feel right.
Right.
But they were just taking too long to address the issue and get medical care.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
Possible, right?
So we can blame Eric Holcomb. This is another thing we can blame Eric Holcomb for.
Because while they were doing their clandestine rendezvous via the apps that we're discussing,
mm-hmm.
when the deed was done, if things didn't go right, they didn't get into the doctor.
Ah, that's a great point.
Because how did you get in that precarious position? You're supposed to be locked down.
I still don't understand how we go from I have seen your photo on the internet
mm-hmm.
to I will be at your place
mm-hmm.
in such and such a time.
Well, I think you normally start up a conversation.
Do they?
Or try.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you kids? Do you children?
Do I start a conversation?
Do you?
I tend to be the type of guy who when I go into the hairdresser, I ask for a high and tight. So I'm not a great interest here. However,
from
what I've seen.
Your underachieving friends, how do they do
this? Yes, from what I've seen on Reddit and from my miscreant friendships, I've noticed that they will tend to be very blunt with it. It's kind of a meme, joke at this point. Then men are like, I'm horny, and then boom, you end up with some sort of a strange conversation.
What is happening here?
That's very direct.
It tends to work better than being creepy, I suppose.
That's a great, see, in a weird way, there's something quasi-chivalrous about mm-hmm. this.
This is what I have in mind.
You're just being direct.
Just trying to have expectations at a certain point, right?
Turn your mic on.
Again, I'm not the greatest person to know about all
this.
You're
the closest thing we'll have to a greater person.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to put Jaden on a little experiment to find out how quick
mm-hmm.
he could get someone to yes, and then you don't have to follow through on it. We just need to know how big of a plague this is on
I'll
society.
I'll set up a new profile, all pictures of you, and see how far we get.
That won't cause any problems home.
See, this is what we should do. I should give Jaden a bevy of pictures of me in my early to mid 20s.
Now wait a second. I think you're going to be catfishing someone then at that point.
Oh, that's right. That would be wouldn't it?
I don't think you want to do that either. Now, how often is it that you start a conversation with a lady or you match with someone and she ends it? Is that the way it normally is?
Well, it depends, because in the modern dating scene, a lot of political division has leaked its way into this. So
Whoa!
you get a you're really a conservative,
attractive.
So goodbye. That happens a lot. And then you also end up with the opposite. I look at her profile and I go, oh, you voted such and such way? Probably not in my best interest.
Really? You would not go on a date with someone based on their political affiliation?
If it says moderate or open-minded, like, I'll go for it, sure. But, like, I tend to lean one direction pretty hard.
Wow.
And I don't think someone wants to get along with that. So
last weekend, you'll like this one, Rob. Last weekend, I was visiting daughter at college. And we were talking about a Notre Dame football player, a very prominent one,
mm-hmm.
QB. She had matched with him on a dating app
Oh, wow.
A few years ago.
Did she take advantage of that?
Well, she started a conversation with him, and then he disappeared.
Oh,
ghosted her.
Because he probably found out she was not interested in the hit and quit.
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, I didn't ask her how the conversation
Why
went.
Why not?
Because her dad was sitting
It would
there
have
too.
Been a great radio segment.
I'll ask her, hey, what did you say to that football player?
Yeah, interesting.
Find out.
Huh.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And Facebook's parent company, Meta Platforms, used to be very valuable. Not so much now. It has fallen just a bit. And we'll talk about that coming up from 93 WIBC. So Meta Platforms, the artist formerly known as Facebook, was the fifth most valuable company in the U.S. That was the end of last year. But it has since fallen, especially since 2 days ago when stocks went tumbling. After a 9.4% daily slide in the stock, they're now ranked 10th most valuable company in the world. And some people are saying it's due to Mark Zuckerberg's poor leadership skills, which are slowly dragging Meta towards failure.
So Facebook, Meta, whatever you call it, has lost 60% of its value in 1 year. And it's interesting because as our audience knows, I am one of the OGs of Facebook. Mm-hmm. I was on it when the earth was young and you used to have a college email to get in because, well, that's what Facebook was originally all about, was picking up college chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the time when there was, you know, obviously an explosion, and then it went from you don't have to be in college anymore. The elderly could get on there and it was straight downhill once the old people got involved. How will this ever be monetized? You know, because people are saying, oh my gosh, this, if it goes, especially in the lead up to it going public, et cetera, oh my gosh, this and that. And I remember thinking at the time, how would you ever properly monetize this thing to make money based on the amount of staff you have for the gigantic thing that it is? Because you're also always up against, I remember thinking this 10 years ago, you're always up against the latest in technology. It's not like, okay, Walmart became Walmart. And now, yes, Walmart has lost value, et cetera, based on the Biden economy. But there's always a core consumer base for Walmart. 20-year-olds buy groceries. 30-year-olds buy groceries. 40-year-olds buy groceries. Okay, we're all in the same soup in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
The younger people, there's always some new thing.
Yep.
That they're targeting, whether, you know, it's Snapchat or Instagram, or I'm sure there's a bunch of other. So I always wondered how, other than, yes, it has all these users, but how do you maintain the users, and then how do you monetize that? And I think Facebook has really struggled on both of those fronts.
They've expanded a bit with their Meta platforms. They're trying to invent and bring out new technology, of course, with the, you know, ocular devices you can use and everything like that. But Bill George, who is a senior fellow at Harvard Business School, says that Zuckerberg is a rationalizer who blames others. He also says he's a loner who doesn't accept advice and a glory seeker who prioritizes profits over the product. And that's where you can get into trouble. If you're the leader of a company and your only goal is the profit, 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 well, then the product suffers.
Some
people are saying that's what's happening to Facebook.
That's an interesting point, but I also think you have a guy who is not a business guy, right? Like, you are trained to be whatever you are, and Mark Zuckerberg was a brilliant person in terms of technology, computers, whatever. Not a business guy, but shrewd, calculating killer, especially if you've ever seen that Facebook movie, in terms of, he will gut anyone in front of him, around him, or dares to even ponder standing in his way, but not a trained business professional who had to learn how to do it. At his core, he's just some technology nerd. And I think that's why you're singing. And I think within 5 years, Facebook will be I think it'll still be there, but I think it'll largely be a dinosaur-esque thing that mostly older people use. And the money, especially in these sort of things, is with, you know, the you know, 30 and under crowd.
So I was asking the Gen Zs that I was hanging out with over the weekend their thoughts on
What a mom move. I was asking these Gen Zs I was hanging out with over the weekend.
Well, I wanted to know because, you know, the phones were out. So what are you guys doing? What are you on? They're taking pictures. What's this all about? Who are you talking to? You know, I'm being nosy.
Yes.
And so we started having this conversation about the different apps. And they commented that, yeah, they still use Snapchat, but streaks are no longer a thing, and Snapchat is just to get someone's initial contact info with.
I see.
Instagram, it's okay, but there's too many options. There's just too much going on Instagram with the reels and how they're pushing out video.
Oh, yeah.
And TikTok is for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is for old sad people.
Oh, okay.
Is what they said. And there's a new app that's out that is going to be becoming more and more popular, and it's called Be Real. Have you heard of Be Real, Jaden? Yeah, Kylan's heard of it, huh?
I have not, Kylan.
So this is where you there's a second of a day, an alarm goes off on your phone. You take a picture of yourself wherever you are.
Yeah.
And it keeps track of this for you.
Yep. So a notification goes off, and then you just take the picture, whatever you're doing at that point in time, mm-hmm. and then it'll take both a front and back camera picture of it. Mm-hmm. So what you're taking a picture of and a picture of you.
Yeah.
So you can take pictures with friends, picture of your food, or if you're at work, then here you go. Here's a picture of this radio board.
Okay, I've got to process what I just heard. But
well, Barstool Sports is using this, and I know that you follow Barstool Sports and you like what those guys do. They're starting to use Be Real on their Instagram.
No, okay. So here's the thing. I'd have to take a break because I want to ask this question to you because you're a mother of a college age daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who are just out of college here. Mm-hmm. Because Abdul and I got in this conversation earlier during Statehouse Happenings. The new frontier mm-hmm. is how do you reach a new generation? How do you effectively, so we're talking about ads. We're talking about how the Duke of Spendingburg, Todd Young, is spending a whole bunch of money reminding people he was in the Marines. Did you know he was in the Marines, Casey?
I heard that, yes.
Did you know Todd Young was in the Marines?
Yes.
Nothing about his voting record, but he was in the Marines.
When I watch programs on YouTube, his ad is always fed to me.
He was in the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about how, with a wide swath of people now, how do you even effectively target campaigns these days? So I want to maybe ask about that mm-hmm. because I think that is if you can come up with an answer to that,
it's a new frontier.
You become a bajillionaire.
Okay.
So I'll
yes,
ask you.
Yes, let's narrow that down, can we? Please. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Generation Z now has two candidates with a chance of heading to Congress. One of them is a 25-year-old woman from New Hampshire. She won the Republican nomination for the first congressional district. She said, "We were outspent, but we were not outworked. Thanks to the people of my home district for believing in me." And she said, "Tonight we celebrate, tomorrow the work continues." And you had commented, "What am I doing wrong with my life when this 25-year-old could be going to Congress?"
Yeah, it's pretty impressive at that mm-hmm. age to be able to engineer a coalition of people. Now, I was 27 when I got elected, so she's a little bit ahead of me, and I always hate when I'm not the best at something. This is fairly impressive, though, at someone at that age can coalition build something certainly on the size of a United States congressional run. Carolyn Leavitt mm-hmm. is her name, and she won the primary up in New Hampshire, the first congressional primary the other night, Tuesday night. But it got me thinking because we were, talking last segment about how, the Duke of Spendingburg has started spending a bunch of Mitch McConnell funded donations, mm-hmm. Fueled donations, and is all over the streaming platforms and the television reminding people he was in the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started wondering that, how do you, in a modern era, bridge? It's got to be very difficult as a campaign manager, media buyer, or whatever, to decide how do you reach a Casey Daniels or Rob Kendall, or then add on top of that someone from our parents' generation, even, because the media outlets consume, like, it was once upon a time, whether you were 23 or 43 or 63 or 83, you watched television.
Mm-hmm.
If you were 23, 43, 63, 83, you consumed radio broadcasts of some sort. Now, there were different buys based on demographics, but those were the mediums in which you consumed entertainment. So it was easier mm-hmm. to do those sort of buys, newspaper, etc. How do you do that in this age when there's, let's just take streaming, for example. There's Hulu, there's Netflix, mm-hmm. there's Peacock, there's Disney Plus, there's Paramount, obviously there's cable packages, there's traditional television, there's radio, there's traditional radio, there's Sirius Radio, there's YouTube. Like, how do you merge and find the proper allocation, and how will you do that going forward, the proper allocation of resources mm-hmm. to hit Jaden's generation or your generation? Like, I don't understand how that's going to be a very difficult task in the modern era.
So a lot of people would say that the pie, the advertising pie, is getting split up, right? There's more choices to make, so the pie is getting split more. But I would say that the pie, in fact, has gotten bigger. So there's more pie to go around. You take the guy who's getting his oil changed, and that's who you want to target. Well, in the past, if he got out of his car, he was listening to the radio, and he got out of his car, and he was waiting in the lobby of the oil change place, he was no longer accessible to you. Because his radio's off, he's not in his car. But now the pie has grown, and you can still reach him on his phone. Because what's he doing in the lobby of the oil change place? He's sitting on his phone scrolling through whatever social media he chooses.
Yeah, that's a great point. So here is, and maybe I should ask a trained professional. However, most of the people who have the control money are not friends of mine anymore. I've burned most of those bridges, Casey, but I've got a few left. I should ask them, or maybe somebody, if they know, they can just chime in at Rob M. Kendall or at Casey Daniels 317 on Twitter. I'm watching The Americans last night, the replay of it was a show on FX from years ago. I'm watching it on demand, going back through it. And Todd Young decided to ruin it for me by having one of his ads play at the beginning. Is it a thing where it has to be by the view, right? Like, you had to be paying by the view for that streaming service, because unlike television...
Well, you're paying for impressions.
That's what I'm saying. The amount of people who see the thing. Like, every time somebody sees it, is it, you know, I don't know, 10 cents, 15 cents, a dollar? My question is, though, that unlike television, like, if you advertise on your nightly local newscast, you put the ad out. If I see it, it's still a wasted ad on me, but, hey, conceivably, 5,000 other people are going to see it. If he's paying by the impression, because it seems like it plays every time I start a new episode, it's a totally wasted resource on me, because, as I said earlier, you could try to take my eye out with a hot poker and I would still not vote for Todd Young.
Well, he's still casting a wide net, though. I mean, he's trying to get as many people as he can. And when it comes to streaming, it's not just impressions, it's how long you watch. Because when it's on TV, unless it's something that you recorded, you can't fast forward through it. But with the ads on streaming platforms, you can wait 3 or 4 seconds and then you hit that skip ad button and you can skip the ad. So the whole goal of the streaming ads is not only to get the people to view it, but to stick around through it.
Interesting.
And, you know, when I was talking with Kylan just moments ago, she had mentioned that you have to be authentic on social media. She'll find out new ideas or items or products through Instagram, but only if it catches her eye and it seems authentic, only if it's something that she can reshare on her social media platform. She mentioned she'll find out new products and things from YouTube. But besides traditional media, radio, TV, newspaper, billboards, you know, you talk a lot about door knockers, yard signs.
Right.
But for them, the younger generation, they're saying free stuff, back to that, and food.
What? And if food?
If you can tie your name or your product to free food, they're getting something out of it. That's something that they're going to remember.
The other problem with that is your daughter is no offense, Jaden, no offense, Kylan, they're an unreliable voter base.
Right. Well, yeah, and they flip-flop their opinions very quickly,
right,
too.
So is the effort worth to put into it what you'll ultimately
get the return on investment
out of it? Now, here's a great example. When I was running, they allowed me... The idea that Brownsburg High School would let me to do anything today that would benefit me is hilarious. But at the time, they allowed me in to talk to the senior government students about local government. It wasn't a campaign thing. It wasn't like vote for me, but it's, hey, this guy is running for public office. The guy he's running against has also been invited. I don't think he maybe knew where the high school was, so he didn't show up. The point is, like, I was able to register 100 kids to vote that day. And people were laughing at me going, well, you're just wasting your time. They won't vote. And I said, well, if 25% mm-hmm. of them show up and they all bring their parents, which they will, then that's 25 turns into 75. And in local elections, that's like a bajillion votes. And it did. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what happened. So you can do that if you have a face-to-face, but it's like, is there anything Todd Young is going to do in an ad, or let's just, so we're not picking on him because we've done that enough today, McDermott, the guy he's running against, mm-hmm. is going to inspire your daughter to go, oh, I wasn't going to go vote before, but boy, gosh darn it, that's going to make me want to go vote.
You know what I think it would be if, like Kylan mentioned, if he were to show up on the campus and was passing out, I don't know, free subs or something, she might be more inclined to walk over, oh, you're going to give me free food? Yeah, okay, I'll go do this for you. But she's only going to go vote for him if it's convenient.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, if you, let's say he was really a sub. Like, that's
well,
where, I mean, I know you're just making that up, but like that, Jaden, is that true? Is that where your generation's at? Like,
feed me? Have you seen the price of groceries?
A package of McNuggets from McDonald's is like enough.
I mean, I would casually pay attention if you gave me a free pack of gum. Like, we're easy.
I'm saying your friends, the future of the Republic hinges on a Whopper.
Yeah.
Well, what are we doing here? We're done. It's over.
No. Listen. No, you're
it's
fine.
A Whopper, Jay.
I understand.
You just said your friends vote based on a Whopper.
We were talking about, not. I mean, me personally, obviously I'm here. I know, but
I'm saying your friends.
But no, I understand. So I think your argument is fine. I just think it's like, if you think about like a tree, right? A tree that's being pushed in the wind and it's an unreliable voter. It's not going to vote well. It's got all these, it's falling over. But you know, you as someone who cares and wants me to then vote, are you going to try and attempt to replant a new tree, reach out to someone who is not caring at all, or are you going to try to hold up the tree because it's already proving that it is capable of growth, right? So when you reach out to the young people audience, people who will change their mind, people who won't, it's worth it to people who are paying attention anyway. So if we're there to listen, yell at us.
We've got to go to a break. I can't. It's a Whopper.
All right. Coming up next, Mike Shmuel.
Public Schmuel, on a Whopper.
Head of the Democrats is going to join us, and we're going to be discussing that new website that they put up called Diego No Morals, right? DiegoNoMorals.com?
I just can't get enough of that.
Yeah. Okay, that's on the way from 93 WIBC. Good morning. It is 11:46 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Let's go to the drivehubler.com hotline. We're joined by Mike Shmuel. He's the head of the Indiana Democrat Party in the state of Indiana. Mike, how's it going?
Hey, good to be with you. How are you both doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Now, Mike, we've told people from the beginning, look, I don't think at the end of the day, we're all the Democrats and me, we're going to be going to the Bellagio together anytime soon. But there is an area we can agree on, and that is that Diego Morales, the Republican candidate for Secretary of State, is wholly unqualified, is about the last person that should hold that very important job. And so you guys being the Democrats, have a new website out highlighting his record. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, for the record, Rob, I'd love to go to the Bellagio with you and I'll be on the show.
I'm going to hold you to it.
We'll let it ride. Yeah.
You better bring the money because he won't.
Tell us about this website.
I need to find a new line of work. But yeah, you're right. So we created a website because, as I joke, Diego Morales has more baggage than baggage claims. This guy's got a lot going on in his past. And we created a website. People can visit it. It's DiegoNoMorals.com. It's a play on his last name, obviously, but really highlights some of his record and how he is unfit to be our next Secretary of State. So DiegoNoMorals.com is the website that we've created.
And you know, for me, it's like I look at the other Republicans that are running. Daniel Elliott, who's the Republican candidate for state treasurer. Tara Klutz, the state auditor. I'm sure you don't agree with this statement, but they're fine with me. I have no problem voting for those people. They, by and large, I think will do a good job in the office. But, Mike, you know, we've really got to be able as a society to step outside our party. Sometimes there are Democrats that some Democrats can feel aren't very good. There are times where Republicans don't feel are going to do a good job at the office. Diego's one of those, and the Secretary of State's office really is a very important position because it controls so much of state government, everything from elections to business licensure.
Absolutely. It oversees our elections, access to the ballot, how we make our voices heard. As you said, small businesses, business licenses, all of that things. It's an extremely important place. It's an extremely important office. And I would say this is what people need to know about Diego Morales. Diego Morales was fired twice from the office of Secretary of State by previous secretaries of state, by Todd Rokita when he was Secretary of State, and by Charlie White when he was Secretary of State. Now Diego is the nominee to be Secretary of State. And I just think that the vast majority of Hoosiers, if they look at that on its face, would say he's unfit to serve in that office. Unfit.
Mike Schmuel is our guest. He's the head of the Indiana Democrat Party. Now, obviously, as I said, you know, we've got different desired outcomes here. You want people to not vote for Diego and vote for your person, which is Destiny Wells. I think the Libertarian Jeff Moore is a better option. But in such a Republican state where, look, by default, 40% or more of the people are going to vote for the Republican just because there's a letter next to their name. How do you break off those additional people? In your case, you want it to be the Democrat. How do you get people to go from Republican to Democrat, or is just not voting for Diego enough, you think, to put Destiny Wells over the top?
Well, it really is a choice, and elections are about choices, and it's on us, the Indiana Democratic Party and Destiny Wells and her campaign, to talk about the issues and to talk about their profiles themselves and why people should vote for them. Destiny is a fantastic candidate. There are questions about Diego's military service, but Destiny signed up and has served in the Army, I think, since she was 19 years old. She served over 19 years in the Army. She deployed to Afghanistan. She's an attorney. She's a mom. She would keep our elections safe and secure. Diego, incredibly risky, incredibly dangerous. That's not coming from me. That's coming from other Republicans as well. And so I think it's on all the campaigns to make sure that they get these names out there, they get these messages out there, they get these profiles out there so Hoosiers have a real choice. And you're right. There is a Libertarian in this race. And so Hoosiers really can choose between these three choices, although we would say Destiny Wells is the top choice to keep our election safe and secure.
Mike Schmuel, head of the Indiana Democrats, on the phone with us. Thank you for being here, by the way. Let's talk about how the Diego Morales has backed off of the early voting limits. He ran on this, got nominated on it, and then after the nomination at the convention, he backed off on that. He's changing his tune.
Right, right. Well, I think it shows how extreme he is. I think he sort of realized as he's become the nominee that he has to walk back some of his crazy things that he thinks. Just a few weeks ago, he was saying that our early vote calendar, Casey, needed to be cut in half, 14 days for early voting. Hoosiers like voting early. The vote centers, you can do it. It's more convenient. You don't have to go on election day necessarily. He wants to cut that in half. The other thing that he has said is you need to provide proof of U.S. citizenship when you go and vote, birth certificate, et cetera. I think the vast majority of Hoosiers would rather just take their driver's license or their normal ID and go and vote like they always do, right? Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, you know, little old ladies and folks all around our state in small towns, big cities, urban areas, suburban areas, having to prove that they're Americans to vote. That's ridiculous. And so, you know, all of these things that he is saying is just totally out of whack. And he's realizing, I think, as he talks to more and more Hoosier voters, how out of step he is with the mainstream. And he's trying to claw back. But we can't let him. This is what he truly believes. This is what he started his campaign saying. And we need to remind Hoosiers about that. Destiny, from day one, she launched her campaign on January 6th, the anniversary of that horrible attack on our Capitol, because she has always served our country, and she wants to serve Indiana.
Mike, we got into a discussion last segment, and you are the perfect guy to answer this because you helped run Pete Buttigieg's campaign in 2020. And we were discussing how in the modern era of streaming, of all the platforms that, you know, the Hulu, the Netflix, you know, there's cable. It's not like it used to be where everybody consumed television, maybe different shows, but they consume television or with radio. How do you go about trying to allocate your resources when you are trying to reach both 25-year-olds and 85-year-olds in a world in which there's 9,000 different mediums to reach people? How did you guys go about delegating resources?
You got to do it all. job you have to at all. And it's hard and it's expensive. I mean, you probably see it on your show when you're promoting your show and all the various things that you have to do to get in front of folks. You know, just 10, 12 years ago when I was working on a campaign, I used to work for Joe Donnelly, our former senator. And back then it was like, do I need a Twitter account? No, we're probably okay. And you know, nowadays, for a politician, for a political figure, it's unthinkable. You have to be on these platforms communicating with people in all the different ways that they consume information. So you have to do it all. But I think the most important thing, Rob, is your message has to be consistent, strong, and standard throughout. That wherever you're talking, whoever you're talking to, wherever you're going in Indiana, you're saying the same things.
Mike,
and that's what I call Mike, out on the other side of the aisle.
Mike Schmuel, yeah. The head of the Indiana Democrat Party. They've got a new website out. It's DiegoNoMorals.com. I love the name of that website, by the way. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and that's going to put a lid on it for us today. Rob, thank you very much. Kylan, Jaden, thank you for your hard work, and thank you for listening and watching, and we'll do it again tomorrow. It's 93 WIBC.